You are Locked On to the Texas Rangers. I'm your host, Bryce Patrick. This is episode 489 of the Locked On Texas Rangers podcast. I am joined by my continual guest, Grant Schiller, to talk about the Rangers offseason. Some comments the Dodgers GM made that made me think maybe Clayton Kershaw is leaning more heavily towards Texas than most people initially speculated. Also, of course, we do our random Ranger and what we think would define a successful offseason for the Texas Rangers. Coming up on this episode of Locked On Rangers. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On to the Texas Rangers. I'm your host, Bryce Patrick. I want to thank you for making Locked On Rangers your first listen every day. I am joined here, as I often am, by the brilliant, the talented, the spectacular, the delightful Grant Schiller. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. I was going to use all of those adjectives for you, too.
This is awkward.
I'll just stick with friendly, then? That's what's left?
That'll work. Neighborhood Bryce Patrick. Like your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, except with fewer spider-related powers. I'm not going to say none, but I will say fewer.
I've definitely seen you break some out.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to get too flashy. I mean, I feel like Spider-Man, like I like him, but like, you know, we get it. You're a spider with man, you know, it's a bit much sometimes. But, you know, it's the off-season, so this might actually just be a Spider-Man podcast. It's not actually a Spider-Man podcast. We've got real important things, awards to talk about. But, you know, if you asked me going into the year if the Rangers would have anybody in that I would be mad that they weren't an award finalist, I'd probably say, obviously, Joey Gallo is going to be, like, should be the MVP, and if not, then everyone's a bunch of haters, or he got hurt. I guess it's just we got to rely on the haters. Aspect for this one, but nobody saw Adolis Garcia coming. But I've ranted a lot about it this week, but I wanted to get your thoughts on him not being even a finalist. I mean, Sporting News is the only real journalism that I trust because they voted him to win the award. So their award is the official one. And I'm taking their lead on all the other awards. Because I feel he was wronged because he had a great season, and
yeah I
know you weren't as excited about him as I was, but you gotta admit he had a great season.
I get it. Like he was a really good defender. He hit 30 homers. He was an all-star.
31 homers.
He was an all-star. At the same time, he had a 286 OBP and finished with an OPS plus of 101. Like, I don't know. I mean, it would have been awesome if he won it. I think he probably should have been top three. But at the same time, I get it. Like, the dude had an OBP under 290.
Yeah, but on bases for nerds.
Don't
look at his batting. Just look at the RBI and homers and the defense. That's it. That's the only things that matter. And also making me happy watching Rangers games. That's a hard thing to do with the team that loses this much.
Gallo was gone, he was like the only thing that could make anybody happy.
Yeah, even then it was come and go. I mean, I'm sure he was sad, and that's why he performed worse, because he lost his friend Joey Gallo to freaking New York. But like, my argument is that, like, if Wander Franco is a finalist for this, then why is Jacob deGrom not a finalist? Like, Wander Franco had a pretty decent like first season, but it feels kind of like confirmation bias of just like, oh, this guy who we thought was going to be good was good, so let's just vote him. Same with Randy Rosarena. It was like, Rosarena had a pretty solid season, but he wasn't, like, a lot of defensive metrics had him as like a minus in left field, and he was a Gold Glove finalist. But I mean, we already talked about how much the Gold Gloves suck, so I don't know. It's just upsetting. And like, the other guys, like Wander Franco is going to win a lot of awards in his career. Like Randy Rosarena,
absolutely, yeah,
might be a multi-time All-Star. Like, but for Adolis, it's like, this was his coming out party. This is his year to win it and like have his name cemented among, you know, the stars. And it was taken away from him. And I have a lot of words for the people who were voting on this award, which I have been told the list is made public afterwards. So I will have a list of names that I can question and cajole
So now, should I hate tweet them?
We got to wait until the award actually, when they announce their votes. Okay.
But so, then hate tweet?
I mean, I'm not going to actively discourage or encourage.
Okay.
Do what your heart tells you is right.
Okay.
That's the important thing always, especially when it comes to tweeting angry things at baseball writers. Follow your bliss as you were.
Well, you know, it's almost Hall of Fame voting season, so there's going to be a lot of angry tweets at writers from all sorts of people.
Oh my God. This is Barry Bonds' last year on the ballot.
It is.
Which he shouldn't be on the ballot. He should be voted in already.
He should have been in 9 years ago, right?
Ago. He is, I know the steroid. There are so many people that are probably already in the Hall of Fame that did steroids that we don't know about. And Barry Bonds isn't like a tool. Like he is, well, even if he is, well, he didn't bet on games. He didn't, I don't think there's any people in the Hall of Fame that like murdered anybody. He didn't drunk drive and then tell the police officer that he was a very important baseball person.
Who did that?
To my knowledge, Tony La Russa.
Oh, right. Okay.
Who's going to be voted into the Hall of Fame.
He is in the Hall of Fame, I think.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
You can be in the Hall of Fame while you're an active manager?
If you had retired for 5 years before you came back, I guess you can.
Did he really retire for 5 years and they brought him back for this?
Well, yeah, because he retired after the World Series in 2011 that they lost to the Rangers. Loss was so heartbreaking, he retired.
It shamed him. He's been out of the game for 10 years and they brought him back for that? Gosh.
It's better than bringing back Ozzie Guillen, which was on the table for the dads.
And the dads definitely made a wise choice. Speaking of the dads and their former manager, I believe it's in Jace Tingler has signed with Minnesota to be their bench coach. So that's good for him getting another opportunity. With Thad Levine. Yeah. All ties there. But bum for him. That was definitely a tough first place to be, you know, a manager having all those personalities and happy for the dads that they got one of the best managers in baseball to come in, come off a team that, you know, has been winning and is very clearly going to punt for the next 2-3 years. And actually have an opportunity to be a winning manager. But good for the dads, I guess. Good for Bob Melvin.
I guess, yeah. I mean, it seems like the A's are just going to tear it down. Tingler, I mean, it shows you just how, I guess, well thought of he was around here. AJ Preller hires him away to be a manager, and then Thad Levine brings him in as a bench coach. I know Hunter Pence, if you ever listen to his podcast, always raves about that guy. So clearly made a big impression as a Rangers coach.
Yeah, and you love guys that do that, and hoping that the next bench coach for the Rangers will also make a big impact and, you know, help get this offense out of the mud, just like the hitting coach they just officially announced. But we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what big bats, or I guess medium-sized bats, any-sized bats and players in general, we would like the Rangers to sign, what would define a successful offseason for the Rangers this winter. Coming up after this word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you in part by Built Bar. I love Thanksgiving. All the good food and treats, plenty of them. But maybe you want a yummy dessert that isn't so full of calories and sugar? It's the perfect time for Built Bars. Built Bar is the new holiday dessert. It feeds on something that's absolutely delicious and you can feel good about it. One slice of pie has upwards of 300 calories. That's on the low end. Most Built Bars are only 130 calories and only 4 grams of sugar with plenty of protein, much more protein than a pie. They're low calorie, low carb, low fat, high in protein, covered in 100% real chocolate, which not all pies can say that they are. Maybe they're like a little bit covered in chocolate, some of the chocolate pies, but every single Built Bar is covered in 100% chocolate. It's a great option when you're hungry, Thanksgiving isn't coming soon enough, go for a Built Bar or two. There are new surprises all month, including limited time flavors at Built.com. So check the site regularly. There's nothing like a Built Bar Black Friday. So mark your calendar. Black Friday will be a huge event with all sorts of surprises. Go to Built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. And now back to my talk with Grant. And we are back with Grant Shiller, the OG Shill on Twitter, prospect analyzer, baseball knower, baseball appreciator at some point. Depends on the day. Depends on the baseball. But we're here to talk about the Rangers offseason. There's a lot of holes to fill in this team, and I don't even really know where to start, except for, like, I kind of do, with expectations for. That's a great intro by me. I kind of don't know, but I kind of do. this is the hard-hitting analysis you get here on Locked On Rangers. Your team every day. Thank you for making us your first listen to of every single day, so you can hear me stutter and not do good with words.
Kind of
your team most days during the off season. But the Rangers have a lot of holes to fill. Not a whole lot of surely like declarative like spot earning spot keeping for next year. I think Nathaniel Lowe is pretty much the only hitter that they're like, you're like, yeah.
And even he
is like, he didn't super duper like establish himself, but the Rangers kind of committed to it. So it's more of a like, all right, there, this is what's happening. Just buckle in because it's happening.
Right.
But for the offseason, we talked before of like, even if you bring in like your ideal offseason of like, you get one of those big three shortstops, you get one of the big arms, and you get another like mediocre pitcher and some other veteran bat. Like, I have to start with, of the three, I think we both come to the conclusion that Corey Seager is the top choice. At least our top choice.
Yes. Yeah. He's definitely not the best shortstop out there. But he's the best shortstop out there I'd want to have on my team. That mm-hmm. makes sense.
Yeah. You know, that absolutely makes sense. I talked a little with Kennedy Landry of MLB.com in Wednesday's episode. I'm trying to do my math because we're recording this on Wednesday and this will be airing on Friday. So I can't say yesterday. But she talked about how, like, Correa, she doesn't think that's someone that's going to be at the top of their list, probably at the bottom, not because he's not the most talented, but just because they don't think that he's going to be looking at Texas. He's probably going to be either reuniting with AJ Hinch in Detroit or the Yankees, or I guess it's basically just those two, because I don't think that the 5-year offer is going to be enough for anyone to sign
him. That was a Rangers type offer, just a PR move of an offer that's never going to be signed, and just want to be able to say that you tried. It's what the Nationals offered Bryce Harper.
Yeah. Let me see how that worked out. Is that what they're going to offer Juan Soto when he comes to free agency? Or are they going to trade him to the Dodgers before then?
He's going to have been traded to the Rangers for, like, I don't know, AJ Alexi straight up before then, and the Rangers will extend him.
That would be smart to, no offense to AJ Alexi, but I feel like that might be a trade that the Rangers would win long term. I feel pretty confident in saying that.
Alexi's going to get more outs of the two.
Well, I don't know. He's going to be, well, I guess, would he be DHing then?
Probably. Ideally, I mean, there's a good chance he'd DH.
He had a decent defensive season, his best defensive season, and he might end up winning the MVP. It's kind of wild how, like, Fernando Tatis Jr. went from, like, absolutely the best player in the National League to, like, even though he still is a finalist, he's, like, according to BetOnline, I think he's, like, plus 2,000. So, like, well behind the other two guys in the voting. But yeah, that would be nice to get a Juan Soto. But anyway, the Rangers need some big bets. They need multiple bats. What would a successful offseason look like for you, for the Rangers?
I don't know, honestly. I mean, a successful offseason, I guess, to me would just be that they've done enough to at least back up their claims that they are spending huge. Because, man, I mean, if they don't, it's going to be
really upsetting.
It's just, I don't even know if it makes sense to spend this offseason. Like, we've talked about it. 2023 is probably not really realistic. Now, the free agency class next year is much worse than this year, which maybe you do invest a year earlier than you should. But I don't even know if it makes all the sense to go big this offseason. But since they've talked this big game, it's going to just be so toxic and disappointing if they don't at least make a big splash with a couple other medium-sized signings, right? It would just be such a bad look again, and it would just – a successful offseason to me is if I go into next season wanting to watch games. Which I did this season.
I mean, that's fair. This is a bad team. This is a hard-to-watch team, and they've got to get fans excited about something. Something that Kennedy brought up Wednesday, whatever, someday – is when I asked her, because I'm like, why would they talk this big when, like, they're clearly in the tank? Everybody knows they're in the tank. Even the free agents that would be signing with them would know that they're in the tank for at least this year, or at least like this upcoming year, mm-hmm. and maybe the year after that. And she's like, well, you got to give fans something, and they wouldn't talk this big if they weren't confident that they could get somebody.
Like, right, but man, if you don't follow through, it's a big risk to set it up this way.
Yeah, and I get they got to drum up some interest. But, yeah, like you said, it's a big risk. And, you know, there's one guy in particular that I really want. And some comments made by his I don't want to say former team. I mean, it's technically still his current team, but he is mm-hmm. a free agent. Clayton Kershaw. I'm going to get into what Andrew Friedman said about Clayton Kershaw and why they declined to give him a qualifying offer coming up right after this word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. We're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. So you can head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus from basketball, football, baseball postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. And now, back to my talk with Grant Schiller. And we are back with Grant Schiller, the OG, the brilliant baseball mind, the pitching mechanics understander, the good baseball. I don't know. I'm running out of
the good baseball is how the good I baseball. Have it on my resume.
You are the good baseball. But speaking of good baseballs are the ones thrown by Clayton Kershaw, and it would be even better if those baseballs were thrown while he is wearing a Texas Rangers uniform. And right now he is a free agent. He is the technical term isn't unrestricted, but I'm borrowing that from other sports, even though that's not the technical. Like, it still counts because he didn't get the qualifying offer. And who knows what that's even going to entail after the next CBA. But the point is, no matter, I don't think they're going to start attaching things to unrestricted free agents. That would be backward progress, and I don't think the Players Association would go for it at all. But anyway, Clayton Kershaw, in case you don't know, he's a really good pitcher. He is a three-time Cy Young winner. He is an MVP winner. He is the best left-handed starter of this generation by far, probably the best actual starter of this generation, I would say. Back issues and some longevity are the only things that might give someone like, I don't know, Justin Verlander or Max Scherzer the edge. But I still lean towards Clayton Kershaw, because when Clayton Kershaw is at his best, he is absolutely
just incredible,
just ridiculously good and so much fun to watch. I mean, so much so that, like, there's so many, like, every Clayton Kershaw start that I could watch when I had MLB TV, when Vince Scully was on the broadcast, it was literally like an iconic all-time combination of, like, I'm watching one of the greatest broadcasters ever, Vince Scully, narrate one of the greatest pitchers of all time. And it was amazing every single time.
Like, you really can't overstate how good he's been. Like, from 2009 to 2020, his highest ERA in a season was 3.03. That was the only time it was above 3. He had more sub-2 ERAs than he had above 3.
That's absolutely insane. More sub-2 ERAs than ERAs above 3. Like, that's absolutely, like, ridiculous. Nobody does that. Like,
right.
Literally, no. Nobody does that. But he could be doing that for the Rangers. This year, obviously, was not his best season. He missed basically 3 months due to an elbow injury. He hadn't had elbow injuries before. He'd had back injuries, which that's, like, always a little scary, because back injuries, those are the ones mm-hmm. that linger
And this current injury is scary too.
Yeah, it's not like he's it's how was it the ulnerative, the whatever ligament in the elbow that usually is Tommy John surgery. He's not going to have Tommy John surgery. And this is the first time that he's really missed the most. I guess it's some of the most that he's missed. He's had other seasons. I was about to say in 2020, he only pitched 58 innings. And I remembered, it was a 60 game season. So that kind of makes sense for him to do that. But this year he had a horrendous ERA of 3.55. Just
a nightmare.
Yeah, just absolutely horrendous. And his rookie season, he did have a terrible, ungodly 4.26 ERA in 107 innings as a 20-year-old drafted out of high school in like a year and a half in the minors and comes up at age 20 and pitches 107 innings nearly has an ERA plus of 100. It's at 98. So his ERA plus has been above 100 every single year, with the best year being 2016. That was when he pitched just under 150 innings. One of the only times he's done that throughout his career when he's been healthy. He had a 169 ERA that year.
in 149 innings, he walked 172 and walked 11.
You mean struck out 172?
Struck out 172 and walked 11.
It's just insane.
It's stupid.
This guy is just insanely good. His walks per nine of 2.2 is incredibly solid. It's 0.7 home runs per nine. Hits per nine innings for his career under six or under seven. And his strikeouts per nine just under 10 at 9.8. This guy is just ridiculous. I think when he struck out 300 batters in 2015, that was the first time anybody had done it. I think since Nolan Ryan. A couple other guys did it later on, but it didn't mean as much because they weren't Clayton Kershaw. But anyway, I was going to talk about what Andrew Friedman said. Like I said, I always get caught up. Just like you look at Clayton Kershaw, there's the certain guys like a Barry Bonds, like Clayton Kershaw, like even an A-Rod. Just like looking at their baseball reference page, it's like, this is disgusting. I need to do this like alone, like not when I'm on camera, because it's just like I need to just like. Stand there with my mouth open at how ridiculous
just gape at it. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Exactly. But anyway, Andrew Friedman, the Dodgers GM, he made some comments about why they didn't extend a qualifying offer to him. They said, quote, "I think just with our respect for him and what he's done for this organization, that wasn't something that we wanted to do and put him on that kind of a clock when he wasn't ready for it. If he wants to come back, we will absolutely work together to make that happen. If he doesn't, for whatever reason, that's his right. He's going to drive a lot of what he wants to do next year." So, end quote. That is why they wanted to give him some leeway. And, I wish this team was a little bit better, because then there would be some, like, a lot more legitimate draw. I think there really is. Like, because he lives here. He grew up here. He's from Dallas. He went to Highland Park. Although he might be, I don't know how close he and Matt Stafford actually are, as opposed to just how perceived.
They played together,
close.
Right.
They did play together, football and baseball. I believe Matt Stafford was he a pitcher? I think he might have caught for Clayton for a little bit.
I believe Stafford was Kershaw's catcher and Kershaw was Stafford's center for a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, he was, which is wild because he's so big and kind of was gangly in high school. Uh-huh. So why is this kid a center? But it's Highland Park. There's not always the biggest, beefiest kids, but they still end up doing really good in football. But I feel like that's a lot more indication of, like, he's really seriously considering coming home. And I think the Rangers know how big a pull that is, and the pull to, you know, actually live where he wants to live all the time. I mean, not that he doesn't love living in LA, because, like, living in LA is pretty good, especially if you're a guy like him. He doesn't strike me as a guy who's like, I love the fame. I want everyone to know who I am. Like, look at me. That being famous in LA, like, if you want to be like incognito, that's the best place to be famous there. Or I think it's a little better than New York. Cause like in New York, everyone I think is like, who cares if you're famous? Screw you. Get out of my way. I'm just trying to take the subway here. But in LA, it's like, oh, I guess that's, there's Clayton Kershaw. Oh, look, there's Tom Cruise. There's whoever other famous people are that live in Los Angeles that I can't think of anyone at the moment. There's Matt Stafford.
He does live in LA, yeah.
He does now. He does. Just recently moved there so they could actually, you know, hang out or whatever. I don't know how close where the actual Rams stadium is. Do they share it with the Chargers? I don't know. That's not the point. But maybe it's close to actual downtown LA where the Dodger stadium is. So maybe they hang out all the time. I don't know. LA traffic takes forever to get anywhere. But do you think those comments actually like set it up more like an indication of Clayton leaving it that way? Or just do you think it's the Dodgers just trying to do everything right by him, knowing that he's probably going to come back?
Could be either. I would still be pretty surprised if he isn't a Dodger next year. They have all the money in the world. He's a legend there. He's still so good. I'd be surprised if he wasn't back. But, you know, and again, he's another guy where I don't know if it makes sense for the Rangers to sign him, but I hope they do because I'd love to watch him every 5 days.
Oh, my gosh. I would absolutely love to watch him. Another guy that I would love to watch is Justin Verlander, a guy who they saw throw. But do you think that some of the benefits of having these, I mean, those two are like literally all-time guys, like all-time greats, and just being around them is great for anybody. But do you think sometimes their impact might get like overstated, or like because these guys have just always been like naturally super insanely gifted? And so sometimes like the best talent, the most talented players don't always know how to like coach or whatever of like impart their wisdom. It's like, I don't know. I just like throw this ball and right. Like, my arm is literally a gift from God as like one of the greatest arms that has ever been given to any person. And it just does good things. Why don't you just try having an arm like mine?
Yeah. It depends on the guy, right? Like Kershaw, you know, is super meticulous with his game planning and his routines. And that might be a good thing to rub off on some guys. Verlander, I don't know quite so much. I know there's been maybe a previous stop where his goop, his sticky solution, was passed around and helped a certain staff. That may not be able to pass on anymore. So I don't know as much about his personality as I do Kershaw's from a rubbing off on younger arms standpoint.
Yeah, and there are going to be a lot of arms coming up. You know, you'd love to have somebody like that. Even if it's just like during the off season. Like, hey, Clayton, like, you don't have to pitch for us, but can you just, like, hang out with some of these guys during the offseason, like, teach them how to be good, and then, like, maybe, like, you sign, like, a 2-year deal with the Dodgers, and then do, like, one final Nolan Ryan-y year with the Rangers. That I think, might make some more sense. Like, him signing, like, a 2-year deal with the Dodgers, and then, like, playing that out, and then by then, it's like, all right, I have, like, one more year in me, and say, like, hey, this is going to be my last year. I don't think he would actually say it. I think he would just sign the 1-year deal and, text, and then afterwards, like do like a Tim Duncan, just like, hey, I'm out. Send like a press release, like well after the fact, as opposed to like Dirk, who I know would want to do that, who gave people actually a heads up. Like, all right, I know people want to appreciate me. It's more for you guys than for me. Say, hey, I love you, Dirk. I'm outie. Which I guess he only did like give like literally one game.
Right.
He did the game before. But anyway, do you think that kind of scenario would make sense? Or at that point, do you think in 2 years he might be like just donezo and like I my back hurts, my elbow?
I hope he's not.
I'm hoping not too as well. But
I also think
he'd be 35, so like still not that old.
If he re-signs with the Dodgers this time, I bet he's just a career Dodger. I doubt he goes anywhere else after this contract. So at that point, you're so close to retirement. It'd be almost a shame for him not to spend his whole career there.
Yeah, but also, it would be a shame for me to not watch him.
Right, yes, that's also Rangers true.
Uniform. I mean, so, like, I'm still going to watch a bunch of Kershaw starts, like, no matter what uniform he's in. But, like, oh, God, it'd be so nice for him to be here.
It would be. It'd be a dream.
Yeah, and I know, like, there was some real pull last time that he was a free agent. Like, there was some real genuine pull. And, I mean, the reason that he didn't sign with the Rangers is they were not going to offer him, what was it, from 2015, 32 million, 34, 35, 35, and 31 for the last 3 years. They didn't.
Like they should have just done it.
They should have just done that. The Rangers should have. But I mean, obviously, you couldn't turn down that money. That would have been so incredible. Think about Kershaw on those teams. That was 2015, like before the 2015 season. They had Clayton Kershaw on that staff. They would have won two World Series. Like I feel very confident in saying that in 2015 and 16. I feel they would have won at least. I think they would have won at least one. Like you have a healthy Cole Hamels, freaking Yu Darvish. You have Adrian Beltre, plus other friends who were doing good things at the time, have not done as good of things since, but were doing good things at the time. We have a top three in your rotation of Yu Darvish, Clayton Kershaw, and Cole Hamels. Like, there's not been a top three like that since, well, I guess the Dodgers kind of did that when they had, was it when Ryu was absolutely on one, they had Greinke and Kershaw. And
well, if Kershaw had been healthy this year, you'd have had Buehler, Scherzer, Kershaw.
Which is just absurd. Just absolutely absurd. Also, like that Phillies rotation back in like 2000, was it 10? No, 11. Yeah, it's 2011 with Doc Holliday and Cliff Lee. And I can't even remember who the other guys were.
We had Holliday, Lee, Oswalt. There's definitely a fourth ace, but the one that's coming to mind first is Vance Worley and Joe Blanton. There's definitely a fourth guy in there, right?
Yeah, there was. Another left-hander.
Was it Jamie Moyer? Was he considered one of them? Surely not, right?
No, I don't think so. Let's see. Where did we go? Oh, it was Cole Hamels.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. The staff was insane. They had three starters with sub-2.8 ERAs. Roy Halladay, 2.35. Cliff Lee, 2.40. Cole Hamels, 279. Roy Oswalt had a 369. And then 23-year-old Vance Worley had a 301 ERA. Gosh, that was a really good team. Man, how did they not win a World Series? Did they really win a World Series? Oh, wait, no, they did win a World Series. But not with that exact triplet, did they? When did Roy Halladay get there? Oh, my gosh. I am all over the place with my tangents these days. It doesn't matter.
I feel like they definitely won it while he was there.
2010. He did not win a World Series. I think he got there just after. Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, he was in Toronto for before then. So, anyway, random Phillies tangent on this is definitely a Texas Rangers podcast. And I feel like
it's Cole Hamels of the four, apparently.
Right? How do we forget? I think we were just talking about him on the Rangers. Like, oh, yeah, no, he was a Ranger and not not a Philly like he was for the vast majority of his career. Who I believe he's still trying to make a comeback next year.
I think so. He supposedly looked really good at his tryout last year, but then he got hurt again right after.
Well, Rangers, I mean, I don't know how much worse he'd look than like the last time that he was here. And he got traded for a guy who was immediately put on waivers and then looked pretty decent the next year, which I'm still disappointed about. I get it, but I'm still disappointed. I'm allowed to be disappointed, and I will continue to be disappointed. But anyway, I feel like if we're going off on those tangents, then it's about time for our random Ranger to wrap this episode and this week up. Oh, I did want to mention Owen White and Ezekiel Duran doing good things in the Fall League. I believe they were selected to the All-Star team for the Fall League. Yes. On November,
the Fall Star team, I believe, is what it's called.
Yes, you are correct. The Fall Star team. I can't believe that I didn't actually call it that. That is me missing a pun opportunity.
I think it's the actual name.
No, it's the actual name. Okay. Like it's the actual name. Because John Blake tweeted Arizona Fall League Fall Stars game on November 13th. Duran leads the AFL with four triples, and Owen White is tops with four wins, which is the important stat to start off with. Also, 23 and a third innings and a 1.16 ERA. That is something to keep an eye on for next year because he had a pretty solid season this year. Also, other closing things that I'm looking at John Blake's Twitter account that I hadn't mentioned before. Joe Palumbo has been claimed on outright waivers by San Francisco, which means they're probably going to turn him into like a pretty decent player. I just have a feeling that that's going to happen. If someone can, I think it'll be them. Also, Jarrell Cotton claimed on waivers by Minnesota. And also, let's see, Matt Bush, Ron Guzman, Anderson Tejeda, Curtis Terry assigned to Round Rock. And I believe they are minor league. No. Anyway, that's enough of that.
They will be minor league free agents.
Yes. Yeah, they will be minor league free agents if they're not already. Which the Curtis Terry one kind of surprised me. I mean, I know he had a terrible major league start, but like, I mean, geez.
It didn't surprise me so much, but it's interesting that they kept Pozo and cut Terry.
Yeah. Maybe because Pozo can catch a little bit and had more MLB success than him. Anyway. Also, somehow Adolis Garcia has been selected as a finalist for the 2021 All MLB team, which is fan voting. So go vote for him, I guess. I won't pitch a fit if he doesn't get voted for that. Yeah, if you want to give him your votes, then go give him your votes. But anyway, we are doing random Rangers, and I had a good one last week that I remembered exactly right after we stopped recording. So if you need time, I can go first with this all-time.
Yeah, go ahead. One. Go ahead.
Dustin Nippert, all-time Rangers great, 6'7", 217 pounds. He's now 40 years old. Originally drafted by the Diamondbacks, went to West Virginia, pitched for the Rangers in, oh my gosh, where'd we go? I have all of his like minor league and foreign stats.
And KBO.
And KBO stuff. Pitched in the majors for 6 seasons. I believe 3 of those were with the Rangers, 2008 to 2010. Then after 2010, which he had a 4.29 ERA with the Rangers in 56 innings. That was his final season there. He also pitched in 69 and 2/3 innings in 2009, which I thought was pretty nice. But after he was with the Rangers, I wanted to mention this. He went on to have a successful career in the KBO with my beloved Doosan Bears, a Ranger and a Doosan Bear. That makes me very happy. He was there in 2011, 2017. He did finish his career with nearly 175 innings with the KT Tigers. But I'll forgive him for that because he is a Doosan Bear and Texas Ranger for life. Your random Ranger, Dustin Nippert.
Big Dustin Nippert guy. Good swing guy for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Solid.
I'll go with Neil Cox, reliever in 2013 and 2014.
Oh my gosh. That's a great pull.
He, I mean, this dude was incredible in 2013.
Oh my
gosh.
Like,
I forgot just how good he was.
He was so insanely good for like out of nowhere. Uh-huh. Wasn't he like, I think he was cut the year before.
He had last pitched in the big leagues in 2009. Then in 2013 with the Rangers in 57 innings, 65 strikeouts, 18 walks, a 1.11 ERA, a 2.17 FIP on a team that made it past 162 games. Like, he was huge. It's crazy.
Didn't he fall off like right after that, though?
Well, he unfortunately had to endure the 2014 Rangers season.
Oh, that'll get to anybody.
In which he was still a solid left-handed reliever, 4.32 ERA, 3.58 FIP. Obviously not the same as the year before, but still a big league caliber guy. And then 2015 was actually his last year in the big leagues, despite a 3.41 ERA, which covered up for a 5 FIP as he gave up a lot of homers that year.
Yeah. How old was he that year?
35.
Okay. Well, still.
It's a little surprising he never got another chance.
Yeah, I'm surprised the Rangers didn't bring him back because he that one year.
Well, they did. 2016, he threw 23 innings in Round Rock.
No, did he not do well?
He was okay.
Huh.
He wasn't bad. He was okay.
That is the perfect statement for a random Ranger. Like, yeah, he's okay.
right. That is the essence of this segment. Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Like that is like, and that is perfect because like he was very much okay and also great, but also very random. Like, that's an incredibly hard combination to pull off. And it wasn't that long ago, but it was still like, you kind of caught me off guard. I'm like, oh yeah, I kind of remember that guy. Not like top of mind, but like very important for a very specific amount of time.
I had no memory of him being that good.
Oh, I remember. I remember him being absolutely insanely good, like unreasonably good, which I feel like that's like perfectly a perfect way to describe that season. It's just unreasonably good. after, what was it, 4 years out of the big leagues?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Truly incredible. Man, what a great story he was that year. What a great random. That is, I think that is my top random Ranger. Like, you get, I don't know, whatever.
Okay. I'll set up a trophy over here.
I got to go find a Neil Kotz baseball card and give it to you. Or just, like, I don't know, print out a picture of his baseball reference page, and that'll serve as his baseball card.
Uh-huh.
Because that is a fantastic pull. Random and also excellent. Jeez, I'm very proud of you. That was a great way to end
this. I'm proud of you for Dustin Nippert. That was
I felt good about that.
That was a guy, yeah.
And I didn't even realize the Dudes on Bears Rangers connection that makes him have a special place in my heart. I remember him being tall and having a name that sound kind of like nipple. So I like that. so like, kind of like Dusty Nipple, but it's Dustin Nippert, because I respect him and I would never call him Dustin Nipple. That would be offensive.
You're just using that as an example of what other people might call him.
Yeah, I want to look out for him. I also had a positive career war, 0.7. So good on him. Great random Rangers segment. Great week of Locked On Rangers. Thank you guys so much for making Locked On Rangers your first listen of the day or your last listen of the day. I don't know, whatever time of the day. I appreciate you guys listening. Make sure you're subscribing on YouTube. I'll put the link to the YouTube channel in the description if you're watching this on YouTube. Thank you. Go follow Grant on Twitter at OG Shill. Follow me on Twitter at Bryce Patrick. And until next time, don't forget to enjoy Dustin Nippert.